This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Yes, this is Dr. Holly Lucille. And, you know, I noticed that I start my show off every time by sort of just reminding you that it is me. Not sure why I do that. But I am so happy to have you with me here at Mindful Medicine. We're going to talk this entire half hour about eating clean. Now, almost it could be looked up in the Urban Dictionary. It's sort of a new thing, eating clean. So what exactly is it? I am so excited for my guest because I have to tell you how I met her. We have a dear friend in common. And this dear friend sort of noted our probably similar energies, I guess, and said to each one of us, you know, you have to meet each other. And we missed each other for, I don't know, I think over a year, year and a half, kind of running in the same circles. But, you know, one day I was in New York and then she wasn't, or we just kept missing each other. And then it happened. We met at the Natural Products Expo down in Anaheim earlier this year, and I was so thrilled, and I understood completely, you know, you've had this happen before, right? Understood completely why our mutual friend wanted us to meet. I've got the incredible Amy Valpone with us. She is the founder of thehealthyapple.com and best-selling author of Eating Clean, the 21-Day Plan to Detox, Fight Inflammation, and Reset Your Body. Girl, I'm so happy to be talking to you finally.
Thank you. I know. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You do such great work, but it has not been without, sweat equity. And when I say that, you help people because you had to finally figure it out and help yourself. Can you tell my listeners your story and how you basically, you healed and you're still continuing to grow and dig from 10 years of chronic illness?
Of course. So my story is about 10 hours long, but I'm going to give you the very abbreviated, very, very, very abbreviated version. So, you know, gosh, like 13 years ago, I moved to Manhattan, which is still where I live now. But I was working in corporate America at Vogue magazine, you know, thinking I was climbing the corporate ladder out of business school. And I was about 100 pounds, 5'2". I could not gain weight. And one day my legs started swelling up with 40 pounds of fluid. So by the end of the day, I would be 140, and I'd go into work at Vogue, of all places, and be 100 pounds. And so after like a week like this, I was like, what the heck is going on? This is crazy. So I ended up going to my just regular GP doctor, because at that point, you know, I was one of those, oh, I go to a doctor once a year for a checkup kind of people. And I went in, he did my blood work, and called me the next day at my office and was like, you need to leave your desk right now and get to this doctor. And I was like, listen, buddy, like, I'm eating my lunch. Everything's fine. It's just that my legs are swelling. And he's like, no, really, leave your lunch at your desk. You need to get up. So I got up, jumped on the subway, and I look up, and the address was St. Vincent's Cancer Center. And I was like, I called him, and I was like, you sent me to the hospital. And he goes, no, that's where you're supposed to go. We think you have leukemia. Your white blood cells are like 1.0. Meaning,
oh,
like, you pretty much are dead. Your hemoglobin, platelets, you know, anemia, your thyroid. I mean, you name it, Holly. I don't think there was one normal thing on my blood work. So I spent 2 full years beyond disability and going to St. Vincent's every 2 weeks for blood work, because it turned out, obviously, through the bone marrow biopsy, I did not have leukemia, but no one knew what was wrong with me. So I exhausted every doctor in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, tons of hospitals. I mean, went out to Mayo Clinic for a whole week, another bone marrow biopsy. You know, I was given 24 hours to live at one point with C. diff colitis. They put me on steroids, painkillers, water pills from something in my leg muscles. And here I was just deteriorating. And this was the tipping point. I'll never forget. I was in the hospital with C. diff colitis, you know, which is deadly. And they said, you know, you probably have about 24 hours to live. Everyone had to be in gowns. And I'll never forget, I was on disability and my cell phone rang, and it was back in the day when we had flip phones. So I flip it open, and it was a human resources department for my job. And they said, we think you're kidding because you're blogging. And at this time, I had gone back to school to start to understand really how to heal the body. And I started a food blog, which is, you know, the Healthy Apple now. But I shut that little phone off and said, I'll never go back to a corporate job ever again if they don't care about me. And I am chronically sick, but no doctor in the world believes me. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. So at that moment, I said to myself, if I survive, I will dedicate the rest of my life to helping other people get to the root cause of what's going on. And, you know, then, you know, fast forward, I found functional integrative medicine. They found you know, undiscovered Lyme disease, polycystic ovarian syndrome, candida. I mean, the list went on. I mean, you know how it goes.
Sure.
And all
yeah.
these things that Western medicine missed. So, I mean, the story is so much more complicated, but that's, you know, that's the short span of it. But it's been quite a road.
I'm so sorry that you had to go through any of that, but I'm so happy that you did, because so many people get to benefit from, you know, your flight and your plight to heal yourself and to ask those deeper questions and to not just take, you know, the simple diagnosis as an answer, or like, I don't know, you know, just to get to the answers. And so back to the subject of our podcast, because, I mean, you do so much great work. And folks, if you've got to go to thehealthyapple.com. It's chock full of amazing information. But talk to us about eating clean. People use this term all the time these days, but what does it mean to you? What does it really mean to eat clean?
Yeah, so, you know, I figured this out when I was starting to get sick, because all of a sudden all these foods started bothering my stomach, and I was like, this is crazy. I used to be able to eat all of this, and now I can't. So I slowly started to cut out all of these inflammatory foods, like gluten and dairy and soy and sugar and, you know, all these foods that started creating inflammation in my body. And so to me, you know, clean eating is not about putting a label on yourself as being paleo or vegan or vegetarian or gluten-free, dairy-free. It's like, take the labels away and just eat whole foods. Like, if, you know, I have clients, as I'm sure you do too, they do great eating grass-fed steak and eggs and vegetables. Then I have clients that do great being, you know, eating mostly vegetables and some grains. It's like, everyone is completely different. All our bodies are so different, but clean eating is really eating whole one ingredient food. So what's in an avocado? An avocado. What's in an apple? An apple. What's in an egg? An
right.
egg. So it's like getting back to basics, like take away all the foods that have these crazy labels on them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's so many foods in the food store that are healthy food brands that are coming out with some great products that are much cleaner than, you know, the conventional brands. But eating clean is about just eating whole foods. Like, you can base your entire day, all your meals and your snacks around these one ingredient whole foods. Like, I've done it for 10 years and I live in Manhattan. So if I can do it in New York City, where the kitchen is like the size of a shoebox, anybody can do it.
That's amazing.
It's true. It's not like, you know, we have normal sized kitchens here where you can make an elaborate meal. It's like you're standing up over your stove and you're eating it at the same time.
No, I think that's a great definition, because, you know, when people come into my practice and we're talking about nutrition, and, you know, I've always said, because I'm a big looker upper of words, you know, when you look up diet in the dictionary, it literally means habitual nourishment. Like, how as a habit do you nourish yourself? And I like people to start thinking about it that way, but there's like, well, I don't cook. And I'm like, you know, I really respect that, of course, because I want to be able to get people to, you know, not just compliance, but adherence, like a faithful attachment to something, especially a plan that's going to increase whole foods and increase nutrients then, right? I think that's not rocket science. People are going to feel better that way. But I always say, you know, listen, you don't have to cook. You know, there's a difference between like steaming asparagus and making a bolognese sauce, right? I break it down into, it's definitely more of preparing. It's more of a prep, you know, preparing or resourcing and not using that as an excuse. But you give, your book gives readers such a great plan in 21 days to detox, to fight inflammation and completely reset. So tell us what detox really means to you and why people should do it.
Yeah, definitely. So detox is a way of life. So, you know, when I used to tell like my girlfriends from high school that I was detoxing from Lyme disease and all that, they were always like, you're so thin. Why are you on a diet? And I was like, that makes no sense. This is not a diet, because what they're reading detox is like whatever, you know, what the media makes detox out to be is, you know, this juice fast or cleanse. And it's nothing like that at all. Like, detox is, it's a way of life. You can't detox over a single weekend. There's no shortcut. So, you know, if you care about your health, detox needs to be on an ongoing process that really becomes a way of life. So instead of approaching it in fits and bursts, it's really like a better to develop a deep understanding of the environment that we live in and the toxins that we're bombarded by in our tap water and the car exhaust and the plastic that surrounds our food and, you know, all the pharmaceuticals and everything that's around us. And so once I started to realize how bombarded we are by toxins, and I started to realize, holy cow, functional medicine found heavy metals off the charts in my body, mold off the charts in my body, you know, mercury in my large intestine. Like, I'm like, this is insane. Like, I didn't grow up like outside of a power plant. I grew up in this like beautiful beachy town in New York, in New Jersey, and I've never done drugs, and I was not a big drinker. It's like, and that was the opening of my book. It's like, I'm not some crazy person eating Pizza Hut every day. You know, it's like I was eating clean and super healthy. And so detox really just comes down to really helping your support your body on a daily basis, supporting your liver, you know, helping your organs detox. Because as you know, it's 2017, right? We're bombarded by more toxins than ever before. So we just need to support our body in little ways, but not like a juice cleanse or a diet kind of thing. That's not detox at all.
I think that is the best information that I've heard in a long time, and I completely agree with it because, you know, I think it's sort of like this everyday detox because you have an everyday retox. You do, whether you, I mean, we can do our best at decreasing exposure to environmental toxins and buying more organic and sourcing those whole foods and things like that. But you're right, it's 2017, and the driver, I think, of all chronic illnesses by far, and Dr. Pizzorno says it best in his book that just was released in February called Toxin Solution. The Toxin Solution, that it is, I think we need to behave like that and take care of our bodies because it's just combating what it's being exposed to every day. So everyday detox in a way of life. I love how you put that.
Yeah, I think that there's so many people that, I mean, I didn't realize it when I was 21 years old. I mean, I'm 34 now. At 21, I had no idea that drinking tap water was, you know, harming me or was full of fluoride that was affecting the lining of my gut. Or I drank Crystal Light. I chewed sugar-free gum. I, you know, I didn't know when these things were toxic. It's like, it's so crazy because I found that I'll never forget saying this. And I was working at Vogue, and there was a little section for Splenda and Sweet and Low and all these things. And I remember somebody saying, you know, those things are chemicals. And I was always like, this was actually my response. I said, there's no way the government would ever allow anything that wasn't safe to be in like stores or being sold. That was my mentality. And now that I'm in this world that you're in now, 14 years later, I'm like, oh my God, the rest of the world is where I was at 21 and thinks that we're being like protected by everything. But it's like, you have to really be your own doctor, not to self-diagnose, but you've got to read the labels and look at what's really in everything because there's not somebody out there really protecting everyone. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. You know, it's sort of hopefully the goal of my podcast, Mindful Medicine, is just being able to have people use their own mind and think things through and pay attention, you know, and take some responsibility for what goes in their body and not just sort of fall asleep at the wheel and kind of go, well, I don't know, my doctor told me to do it or, you know, that's what they put me on or something like that. Like literally just changing the way, you know, like, hey, your doctor has every right to prescribe something or give you, you know, a recommendation. But at the end of the day, we are all our own primary care providers, primarily in charge of providing care for ourselves. And I think when you just wake that up and make that little tweak in that framing of it, people start to really pay attention and get connected with themselves again. So for you, what were some of the things that you did that you saw the most improvement with your health? Because I know you've been through a lot. And I know you still strive every day to fight the good fight and be healthier and continue to grow. But what are some of the things that you saw the most improvement in?
Yeah, I think number one was definitely, you know, helping my body detox on a daily basis. So eating organic so that I wasn't getting in those pesticides and herbicides, you know, at such a high level from when I was eating conventional non-organic foods. I cut out caffeine. I cut out, you know, any processed, really sugary foods. But one of the biggest things for me was, again, supporting the liver. So through things like castor oil packs or, you know, even, I know this is going to sound crazy, but maybe not to you, but to your readers, but organic coffee enemas were a lifesaver for me when I had Lyme disease, just to help my liver remove the toxins with the die-off. And, you know, another thing, too, was infrared saunas. I had bought myself an infrared sauna to help my body release the heavy metals and the things in my body. Even though I had done chelation, I found that the infrared saunas were so helpful. One of the biggest things I felt like was that I'm still learning how to do now is I was in fight or flight mode my whole life. I had a wonderful childhood and was brought up with a great family, but my father was very intense. My mother, I love dearly. They were just very intense. You know, we were always in sports. We were always on the go. I don't ever remember resting. And so I look back and I'm like, oh, I see how my adrenal glands were completely fried by the time I got to college. And then I just fried myself even more in college, trying to push myself and make my parents proud and do all this. So what I've had to learn is really deep belly breathing, breathing from my stomach instead of my chest, you know, breathing in out of my nose instead of the mouth, you know, really learning how to get my sympathetic nervous system, you know, really out of sympathetic, the sympathetic kind of nervous system into like the parasympathetic, getting your body into that rest or relaxation mode. And once I started to do that, I found my digestion was better, my hormones improved, because as you know, I'm sure as well, it's like when we're in this crazy fight or flight mode, our body, like all the blood rushes, you know, away from our digestion and our, you know, our reproductive organs and things like that. So, you know, to our arms and our hands, you know, because we're like feeling like we're getting chased by a lion or a tiger. But really, It's like, no wonder my gut was such a mess and my hormones and my period and everything were so crazy, because my body was in fight or flight mode. My body was like, we're not going to take care of these things. It's like, you're too stressed out to, like, you know what I mean, to digest food or have a period or things like that. So that was mind-blowing too.
Yeah, that's a great point, because that's the beauty of, I've sort of, the principles that I've been trained in and certainly embodied and kind of were born with, is that sort of identifying and treating really the root cause. And a lot of times we've got physical manifestations or clinical manifestations of a myriad of things, as you know, sort of, or sometimes things that are persistent that get your attention, like fatigue or your hair is thinning or hormone imbalances or what have you. But then what you went through is like, you know, what the heck is going on with this, you know, sort of swelling, just things that, but we aren't paying attention. But you're right, when we get deeper into understanding, the body is so amazing, right? So if your brain is thinking that you are surviving, okay, and that there's a bear coming, or as you said, a lion or what have you, then there's compensatory mechanisms that just that take place. You know, I think Robert Sapolsky, he wrote Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, and he explained in it that when we're like that all the time, chronically compounded, confounding these stressors, we go from coming back into homeostasis, right? So that eighth grade term we all are familiar with, into something called allostasis. And allostasis is the brain making body-wide changes in the response to something that's chronic. And so, you know, bone remodeling is a pretty optimistic goal to do when you're running from a bear. So is digesting your food. So is reproduction. All of those long-term building processes just shut off because, you know, you are quote unquote running from a bear, but guess what? We're not, right? I don't even think we have the luxury of really being in acute danger anymore. It's just this chronic, everlasting sympathetic do loop we get into. So it's a great, great point that you start there and get yourself into parasympathetic, where you rest and relax and repair, and you can break that cycle.
Completely. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, doctors never talked to me about. You know, I never really, that was nothing that was ever front and center. And I found that the nervous system is something that's so big. If your nervous system's out of whack, you know, I was on like 50 supplements a day, doing all these protocols, doing all the, you know, chiropractic, acupuncture, but I was still in the fight or flight mode. So nothing was working. My results were very up and down. And it wasn't until I had to get out of that hustle phase of my life and stop working and pushing myself to do everything and learn how to rest and really relax, that everything started fitting into place.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, you've gone through so much, and you continue to, but prolific in your work. How do you support yourself, both emotionally and physically, these days while you're going through this journey?
Gosh, you know, it's interesting. Emotionally, so I'm just coming out of everything I went through probably within the last 6 months. And it's pretty emotional. Like I actually feel like I'm coming back into the world. I realized that I was completely numb for about 11 years and completely shut off. Like I don't really remember. I mean, I can remember the traumas, like the biopsies and Mayo Clinic and going from, like, you know, to three doctors a day and crying. And, you know, I did it all myself. I was single. I was living alone in Manhattan. But I'm just starting to kind of thaw out and sit in meditation and let myself release emotions, which, you know, as we talked about at Expo West, I've realized is a whole nother kind of sector of feeling, stored emotions that are trapped in the body. And so I've learned how to meditate and just sit with myself. But I've also learned, like, you know, I mean, now I work for myself, but if I need to cry or if I need to stop and I need to rest or if I need to go for a walk, I do it. Whereas in my 20s, I was like, nope, you got to keep working, got to keep pushing. And I just kept pushing myself because that's really how I was brought up. And I thought that was really, you know, how to be successful. But I've learned how to really take care of my body and listen to my body, because I realized that I didn't trust myself. And I gave my power away to a bunch of different doctors who, of course, were obviously all wonderful in so many ways. But I didn't trust myself. And now with everything I do, whether it's chiropractor, acupuncture, energy work, body work, whatever it may be, it's really, I've realized that, you know, I've taken the power back and that I'm really in charge of my health. Whereas when I was 21, it was like, oh, the doctor wants me to do this. Like you were just saying, I'll do it. And now I feel like I just have such a better head on my shoulders after going through all of this. So that's, you know, how I'm supporting myself that way. And, you know, I've really been alone the last 11 years. And I went to an energy worker last week and she's like, you socially isolate yourself, even though you're so energetic and you're so outgoing. She's like, why do you do it? Are you so traumatized from all this? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, it's hard sometimes. But I have started, now that I'm feeling so good, I have definitely been going out and doing things. But to be honest, like after Lyme disease and all of that I went through, those 4 years were so rough. And I had a fear of going outside because you're stuck inside pretty much in bed all day. And you just, you have a fear of even going out. So it's really working. Yeah, it's working with yourself. But, you know, I'm getting back into the flow. And I just learned really how to be patient with myself and just learned it's a journey and it's a process. And everything from here on out, you know, will happen. Like everything happens for a reason instead of trying to fix myself, you know, right away.
Wow. So yeah, of course. And, you know, the things that have happened to me in my life from a physical perspective or from an illness perspective have certainly helped me be a better practitioner. Even though they're hard at the time, you know, I think we can, you know, sort of change, you know, alchemy, right? You okay. Change that into something that's wonderful. So let's go back to in the whole spirit of eating clean, because you have done a tremendous amount as far as cutting out gluten, dairy, soy, sugar, other inflammatory ingredients, especially in our modern day, that were contributing to the symptoms. How do you help people, and what did you do, and how do you help people train taste buds so they can enjoy food again after sort of limiting those things that are so seductive to our taste buds? And how do you create flavor in your recipes?
Yeah, you know, that's such a great way to put it, is really training the taste buds, because that's what it is. I'll never forget, you know, when I had to go in my 20s when I was using Splenda and, you know, Crystal Light and all these, you know, fake foods, and I went off of them to try to see if those were the problem. And I literally went through a detox for like 2 weeks. I thought I was going to die. It was almost like withdrawal, you know, because your body is just craving those things. And I honestly didn't think I was going to make it. It was so, it's amazing how strong our cravings are. And so I had to just learn how to create natural sweetness. So that's what I do with all of my recipes. So it's like natural juices from like naturally squeezed oranges or lemons or limes, or using a bunch of nuts and seeds in the food processor to make them nice pâtés or dressings, using fruits like berries. Like I have a recipe coming up. I just roasted a whole bunch of raspberries. I just rubbed some coconut oil on strawberries and popped them in the oven at 400 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. The recipe's coming up in like 2 weeks on my website. Oh my gosh. Then I pureed that with a banana and a little bit of cherry juice, and it was a dressing for these roasted onions. Oh my gosh. And it was, again, it's all whole foods. It's all from one ingredient, whole foods. So it's like, but natural sweetness, no sugar. And then of course I always add, you know, lemon zest, orange zest, you know, to bring out the flavor, because I think that garnishing a dish with that, you know, just smells amazing, first of all. But I think really just learning how to tell your taste buds, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Here's the food groups that we can use. You know, one being fresh fruits, another one being the citrus foods, another one being fresh herbs. I mean, fresh basil alone will add so much sweetness to anything from tomato sauce to a salad to, you know, like a homemade pasta or whatever you're going to do, a hummus. So it's really coming up with these different groups, and even things like full-fat coconut milk and, you know, coming up with these foods that are, again, all one-ingredient whole foods, avocados, you know, bananas, things that can really add creaminess without that gluten or without that dairy or without that soy, that can really, you know, not feel, make you like leave you feeling deprived, because trust me, I love food and I never wanted to feel deprived. So I had to figure out how to really do this. But the number one thing, which I wrote in my book, you have got to get yourself an amazing, amazing quality, high quality sea salt and freshly ground pepper. And people laugh at me because they just buy the little like iodine salt and like a little pepper in CVS, and I'm like, you're literally killing your food and killing you. So you need like an amazing sea salt, and I'm not talking about one from like Costco or CVS. I'm talking like go to Whole Foods or go to a health food store and find the real deal, because it will blow your mind. And alone, the nutrients in it obviously alone are amazing. And the freshly ground pepper. I mean, those are two things I'm sure you feel the same way. They just changed my life.
Oh, just the seasoning alone. It's so funny when when I make the food in they're like, why does this? I'm like, it's simple seasoning. That's it. It's like using herbs and just salt and pepper. It's simple seasoning that can make flavor in foods go so, so far. People are just like, wow, what did you do? And I'm like, not that much. And see, this listeners, this is what you can do as well. Okay, I've got 1 minute here. I want you to, so folks, first of all, you've got to visit Amy's website, thehealthyapple.com, and of course, /eatingclean for the book. But this is a big thing because people give me a lot of flack. We're like, I travel all the time, so I can't eat well. How do you travel and eat at restaurants when you're eating quote unquote clean?
So anytime I'm traveling, no matter where I am or no matter where I'm going, a week before I Google where's the nearest Whole Foods market, where's the nearest food store, so that I can literally tell my cab driver to go hold my luggage in the car. I food shop for half an hour, and then I call my hotels before I arrive, and I get at least 2 mini fridges in there, so I can put in vegetables, fruit. You know, I even buy a bunch of frozen organic vegetables and just let them thaw out in the refrigerator, and then they're like fresh vegetables the next day. So it's like little things that you can do when you're traveling, but avocados by far. I mean, when I travel to like California, you know, across the country, I pack at least like 2 or 3 avocados with spoons, and I can just eat those with a little bit of sea salt. But, you know, any kind of nuts or seeds, or, you know, if people are not vegetarian, you know, some organic chicken or, you know, hard-boiled eggs or, you know, organic grass-fed meat, whatever, you know, whatever they're in the mood for. If people like beans or some quinoa, everyone is so different. For me, I do better without starchy grains and beans because I've had so much candida. I do better with, you know, higher fat, protein, and vegetables. So it's really whatever works for the person, but I would stay away from, like, whatever sold in the airport or the stop and shop things when you're in your car on a road trip. But yeah, it's really like creating your own kind of snack bags, but really easy, whole, again, one ingredient foods.
Right. All right, Amy, thank you so much. Folks, this is Dr. Lucille, Mindful Medicine. You know, you've got to go to thehealthyapple.com for those tips and so much more. So appreciate the work that you're pushing out in the world and helping us all. Social media, you can find her at The Healthy Apple. Folks, go on over to iTunes if you want. Rate this show and we can grow our community and keep the conversation going. I really appreciate you so much, Dr. Holly Lucille. Until next time, signing off.